Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. It's worth noting that 5 years ago at the G8 summit in Gleneagles, Scotland, not that anyone remembers these sorts of things, but the people of Africa certainly were paying attention,
yeah.
The leaders of the world's richest nations pledged billions of dollars to help the continent of Africa. Supposed to be,
right.
Scaling up to something like $50 billion
yeah,
per year.
Yeah, a huge amount.
As short amount of time as 5 years later, the math is completely different. I mean, it became $25 billion and then only really $18 billion has actually been spent.
Part of it was forgiving debt.
Right.
Right?
Forgiving debt. And but what does $18 billion buy? What does $1 billion buy? We see that in the Gulf, $3 billion is barely a down payment. That's what's already been paid for cleaning up the Gulf. $20 billion may actually compensate people for the disaster there. Trillions of dollars spent to support the subprime meltdown that took place before the recession. Tens and tens of billion going to bail out banks. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan pushing $1 trillion there. So what is a paltry $18 billion going to do in Africa? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. And is the paradigm of aid even relevant in this 21st post-recession, post-meltdown economy? Joining us once again, Paul Collier, professor of economics and director of the Center for the Study of African Economies at Oxford University. Paul Collier, let me just ask you right off the top. Is aid a bad word to be using in this environment today?
Yeah, I think it's not a very intelligent word. We've got to use a wider range of policies. The world's changed a lot since 2005. I mean, the big money, as you say, $18 billion really isn't very much to transform Africa. But Africa's sitting on top of trillions of natural resources. America flew a plane over Afghanistan and from its aerial surveys found that underneath Afghanistan is $1 trillion of natural resources. It's not flown planes over Africa, but there's every reason to believe there's several trillion.
Interesting. Paul Collier is the author of The Bottom Billion, most recently The Plundered Planet, Why We Must and How We Can Manage Nature for Global Prosperity. Also with us is Adama Guy, who's a journalist, Africa analyst, and author of China Africa, The Dragon and the Ostrich. He joins us from Dakar, Senegal. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Adama Guy, when we asked Paul Collier at the top of the hour, who is Africa to look to if not billionaires like Bill Gates or rock stars like Bono for aid, he said China. Is there big money in Chinese investment in Africa?
It's beginning to become rather big because at the turn of the century, China had trade exchange with Africa of less than $1 billion. Today, it has over $100 billion of trade with Africa. Almost the biggest flow of trade comes from China in terms of natural resources being taken from Africa. And also, it's a long-term strategic relationship that China is building with Africa. I think that's a good sense to look into China, but also to look into other emerging countries like Brazil, like South Korea, like India, that are interested in Africa. They realize that Africa has the resources and the market and the geopolitical importance in the 21st century.
So as a journalist and an Africa analyst and as a resident of the continent, when you see these meetings, and you can go on YouTube and see lots of them, I've actually been to some of these meetings where Bill Gates sits around with Bono and Tony Blair is there, and they're all talking about rolling up their sleeves and getting rid of corruption and curing AIDS. Do you find that a little bit either small potatoes or offensive?
Somehow I find it like a joke. I'm sorry to put it that way. Because some of these people, even though they have goodwill in trying to help Africa, they are not doing the right thing, because the first thing to do when you want to engage Africa is to understand the dynamics of Africa, to understand what are the real causes of the underdevelopment of Africa. And the real causes of the underdevelopment of Africa first start with poor leadership, lack of proper institutions, and also the fact that the resources of this continent have not helped the continent develop.
Right.
Instead, it has been misused by the leaders over the years, and the West, because it needed Africa for various reasons, strategically during the Cold War, and today because of the war against terrorism, it has closed its eyes in the problems that come
certainly
with this kind of age and coming easily.
That's the story with oil resources in Nigeria. It's certainly the story of underground resources in places like Congo and formerly Zaire. Paul Collier, what are the motivations for aid, and what should be the scalable strategies for aid coming from the North and the industrialized world if, you know, charitable giving and sort of guilt-motivated mechanisms are obsolete now?
Look, aid can be part of the solution, but the key opportunity is to try and avoid history repeating itself on all this natural resource extraction. I mean, we look over the last century, and resource extraction in Africa has been one long tragedy. It's now going to scale up from the billions to the trillions. It could be a mega tragedy. And so we need all our policy instruments, our trade policy, our influence on governance, and our aid, but used strategically to help Africans themselves in this struggle to build the institutions, to build a better governance, the accountability, which is the only hope for harnessing these natural resources for good instead of repeating the disaster.
Well, some people claim, some experts claim, that the aid that is going to governments in Africa has incentivized the brightest minds of the continent to work for governments which are often corrupt, and that the best thing would be to then somehow get the best scientists, the best doctors, the best IT experts to incentivize them not to deal with the governments but to start their own businesses. How do you do that?
Look, government is going to manage this natural resource revenues for good or ill. And so the central struggle is to clean up government. And the aid relationship's not a bad way into that task of getting accountability into government. In the past, it hasn't worked very well like that. But there's no way in which harnessing natural resources for growth can actually bypass government, because the money has to flow through government.
All right. Before we go, then, that's Paul Collier, professor of economics and director of the Center for the Study of African Economies at Oxford University. Before we go, Adama Guy, journalist and Africa analyst, who's a good example of good governance in Africa? We talked with President Sirleaf there at the top of Liberia. Is Liberia a good example?
I think she is really making an effort. Recently, the debt of Liberia has been canceled, $5.4 billion. The country is rejuvenating.
How about South Africa?
I would rather quote other countries. I would quote Cape Verde as a model of good governance. I would rather quote Mauritius, because he has been able to deal economically, and also Botswana.
Great.
That has been a star in terms of economic development. But I would like
great suggestions. Actually, Adama, we've got to go right there, but great suggestions. Lots to think about there. We could talk for another hour. Adama Guy, journalist, Africa analyst, author of China Africa, The Dragon and the Ostrich, thinking about strategic aid 5 years after Glenn Eagles.